The American people are tired of getting a complete lack of representation from their representatives. Nobody in this country looks at Congress and says, wow, heck of a job, guys and gals. Well done. Who would do that? Would we do that? By the way, it does not matter who's sitting in the speaker's seat or who's got the majority. We keep doing the same stupid stuff.
Jeebus, I hope an asteroid comes and kills us all. So done with everything. This feckless party that's in Washington, D.C. And then I have to come out here and try to spin a silk purse out of a turd, not even a sow's ear. Welcome back. It's Friday. Thank you, Jesus, for weekends. Yeah, I'm not gonna. It's good. Yeah, we're in a doom spiral today just because I'm just disappointed. We passed the CR, the stopgap. You had two measures that passed yesterday, and it is. I mean, it's exactly what you. What do you want me to tell you? They're spending all your money. I hope that you enjoy retiring later. I hope that you enjoy enslaving your kids into a bunch of debt, so a bunch of fat-ass Washington bureaucrats can get their special interests, because that's exactly what it is. And then we got boomers running for office, neocons duking it out for VP. You know, where's that? I'm all for SMOD 2024. I want an asteroid to come and obliterate this planet, because, I mean, there's probably more in Sodom that was probably... on a trajectory of grace than there is on this godforsaken rock now. So, hi. Happy Friday. It's where we are. It's Daria on meth. It's best way to put it. Good to be with you. And we're going to get started with this. So this CR, I told you this thing passed yesterday. And you're like, what's in it? Well, nothing for the border. I hope you don't think so. I hope you don't think there was anything for the border in there, because why did we have a conservative revolution in the House? What was the point of having a conservative? What was the point of that? What was the point of having the speaker fight and doing all this stuff, if only to get, I mean, we were told that it was going to be better. We were told it was going to be better, and it's not. Instead, everybody's been, and I get it, we got a primary going on. Yeah, duke it out. But everybody was paying more attention to that than they were, I mean, I feel like a lot of people, than they were the CR. And guess what? We're going to do this again in March. It's going to happen again in March. So I hope everybody's happy. I'm not. I know you're not either. So this was just there were some good, you know, remarks against it. You know, we were just playing Chip Roy, who was going off on it just with that. There were some good remarks against it, but we don't have enough people in the House who are willing to stand and fight against this stuff. In fact, I mean, one of the reasons that we even were able to muster up a fight in the first place is because we had some conservatives that are in the House and that were doing a pretty good job of holding the line. But other than that, I mean, you know, what else is there? This is what people are going to remember as we get closer to November. They're going to, and you know that they're not going to actually get this. They're not going to have a budget by March. You know that. They're not going to have a budget by March. Who thinks that? I can't remember who it was. It was an editorial that was so bad, I didn't even make it past the first paragraph. And then they ended their first sentence with the preposition, and I died and came back to life. But they were arguing that, oh, well, you know, you just trust them. They're going to get this. This is one of the, I don't know who these people were that were arguing this. I mean, the stuff that's in you're looking at the H-1B visas, you're looking at expediting the process for a bunch of people. You're looking at, nothing to increase boots on the ground or to help facilitate that. Nothing, absolutely nothing. It's just infuriating. And so, like I said, there was two things. You had this measure, then you had the stopgap. You had the CR, you had your stopgap bill, and there's two dates in March, so we have to do this again, like by two. There's two dates in March, so we're going to have this big, giant fight again. And then, guess what? We're probably going to have it again, and then again, and then again, and then again. So, yay. So, frustrating. All right, so, that's the CR. Now, while we've had that, we've had the vibes. I saw this. I touched on this in a piece that I sent out last night over at Substack. Because I said, on the heels of this being passed, big government Republicans are having their moment. And they are. So we have this capitulation on the border funding with the stopgap bill. We got this. And as you know, and the Senate passed theirs and the House passed theirs. Oh, I didn't tell you the vote. It was the stopgap funding bill was 314 to 108. You had 106 Republicans and two Democrats voting against it. What was our national debt? Almost $35 trillion. Yep. $35 trillion. Just going to have CR after CR after CR after CR. So that'll go to Biden. And then the Senate passed it 77 to 18. And so that was the deadline was this weekend. That was the deadline was over the weekend. So on the heels of this capitulation with the stopgap, I saw this from Nikki Haley's big government New Hampshire cheerleader, the governor of New Hampshire, Chris Sununu. And I'm really, I think I relate a story about this, which I'm going to touch on again. I did this earlier in the year, or last year. So he tweeted out, because I guess they were doing campaign stops at some daycare places. He tweeted out, quote, childcare, it's such an important topic. All across the country, one of the top issues discussed by families around the kitchen table is access to affordable childcare. We've invested millions here in New Hampshire into childcare systems. He says Nikki Haley is the type of leader that listens today. She met with a team at Alphabets in Manchester to hear about the needs of educators and families. I got a question. Why is this a government issue or a taxpayer's responsibility? When he goes to that sentence, we've invested millions here in New Hampshire into child care systems. You know what that means, right? That's taxpayer dollars that they've taken and they've spent on this. That's not a government issue. It's not the taxpayer's responsibility. Permanently lowering taxes, dramatically reducing government spending, which drives inflation, making healthcare portable, meaning it's not tied to your employer. You can compete across state lines. You can take it with you wherever you go. These things would go such a long way to empowering families to take charge of this stuff. The asinine thing about it is that big government spending is what has gotten us into the situation with inflation. And he's proposing more big government spending to help the problem that's been caused by big government spending. It's a sick cycle of hurt and rescue. And you can't be, it's antithetical to be pro-family and pro-big government. And I've seen a lot of, this is what they called that back in the late 90s and early aughts. It came out of, as Gingrich's power in the House waned, and then you ended up getting W, they were calling it compassionate conservatism, which was like spraying perfume on feces. It's trying to dress up big government and justify it for the sake of quote-unquote compassion. And that was what gave you too big to fail, no child left behind, all of that stuff. Big government solutions to big problems caused by big government. But being pro-family and pro-big government, these are opposing concepts. Because you can't be both. You can't be pro-big government and pro-family because the latter seeks to displace the former as the base unit of society. I mean, you're not going to find anywhere in history or in any country on earth, you will not find an exception to this dynamic. But yet somehow, these new compassionate or establishment 2.0 Republicans think that the means justify the end because their particular end is more virtuous simply because it's theirs. I was on a podcast once. I'm not going to name the person, but you know them. And the host proposed Americans paying Americans, the government paying Americans to have more kids, like Hungary does. Hungary went beyond that. Their government was also giving away minivans and paying people's mortgages to encourage a healthy birth rate. And so the host proposed this, and I looked at them, and I go, so welfare is what you're talking about. Welfare. I mean, it wasn't a question. It was just a statement of observation. But the host did not see it that way. And they said, no, it's not that at all. I mean, they're, you know, you'd be paying to have more more babies, more American babies. I'm like, well, how well has this healthcare, had this welfare system worked here? But they were aggravated that I kept calling it welfare, but that's what it is. It's welfare. And I never got an actual reply to that. And they never aired that interview. It was the debut interview for this podcast. I will say that it airs in my time slot. They never aired it. And I thought, because of that, because that turned into a big whole thing about what, how much government's responsible for. There is this strain that is bubbling up that thinks it's okay on the right to do stuff like this. And you know what? The big establishment is cheering it. Look what they just did in the House. And look what Sununu's proposing here. He's literally proposing welfare instead of lessening the burden that big government has placed on everyone with its absurd level of spending. The proposal is more government spending to do what families should have the financial freedom to do anyway, were it not for insane government spending. And then he has the audacity to insult everybody by calling it an investment. Hi, where's the ROI here? Whenever these people call it investments, what return have you ever gotten on this? Listeners, what return have you ever gotten on this? Have we ever gotten back what we have paid for in terms of entitlement spending? This is no exception. And Republicans just committed more of this in Congress. Yeah, so I'm not happy with any of these cats today. We have a lot more on the way. Wise food storage. I mean, good grief. Did you hear him? $1 trillion every 148 days. Y'all are going to be needing some of this food. So go ahead and stock up because we got you a discount. We're going to own nothing and we're going to, you don't want to eat bugs, do you? So at least save it off. You can get a buy one, get one free discount. 72-hour food kit over at wisefoodstorage.com. You go there, you type Dana in the search bar, and that brings you to the page where you get all these exclusive deals and all their best-selling products. You're not going to get a deal like this anywhere else. 72-hour food kit, buy one, get $100 value for $50. And you, the boxes, 12 pouches of awesome premium survival food, 11,120 calories total in each kit. High-quality U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, 25-year shelf life. Heirloom Seed Vault as well. Check it out, 39 variety of seeds, non-hybrid, non-GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties, and each kit has more than 4,500 seeds, 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in that search bar to access those exclusive deals like the buy one, get one on the 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana, put Dana in the search bar.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, news today for you that you should definitely want to know about, it's 29 degrees in Texas after it was 60 degrees yesterday. Kane, we all need therapy from this. I can't deal with it. This is one of my favorite headlines ever, though. An escaped pig was found playing in the Kentucky snow. Oh, bless it. Sweet little pig. It's wild, though, I'm pretty sure. No, it's escaped from a trailer. It looks like it's getting near feral, though, I gotta say. Done it, though? I mean, it got out of a trailer in Kentucky, in a city in Kentucky, and it literally went out and played in the snow. The Richmond Police Department said on Instagram that it escaped and then spent some time enjoying the weather. And they said, kids aren't the only one who love a snow day. And then the pig had snow all over its nose. It was like Hunter playing in a bunch of cocaine. That's essentially what it looked like. That was the first thing I thought of. And actually, you know what? I'm going to interrupt myself. I'm literally copying and saving this because I'm going to use this as the next photo for any of my Hunter cocaine stories now and forever. I'm actually doing this while I'm talking to you right now. Let's see. Salad and spinach kits sold in 7 states recalled over Listeria. I don't even know what the hell Listeria is. It sounds like a cleaning solution. Bright Farm spinach and salad kits are being recalled because they may be contaminated with Listeria. okay, just, you know what y'all do? Get your own spinach and your own lettuce and chop it up yourself. And then wouldn't that take care of it? They said that the germ can cause listeriosis. Well, I would imagine listeria, listeriosis, a serious infection likened to sick and pregnant women, infants, basically everybody. You know, they said 1,600 Americans get listeriosis every year. 260 die. Is it? I don't know. I like the out of skate.
Def Leppard had a song called Listeria.
Maybe not.
I think it was Hysteria. No. Okay. Wait a minute. I'm all about this pig in the snow. You distracted me. Tesla owners complain that they're stuck in car graveyards with batteries not charging. Can we, like, not just say Tesla? It's every EV. This is the downside with battery stuff. That's just the way it is. I mean, it's not just Tesla. They act like, oh, well, all the other EVs were. No, it's just that's the nature of this. And there is the multi-million dollar bet that truckers are going to ditch diesel for electricity. That's not going to happen. But Daimler and several others are joining to build a plant in Mississippi to make batteries for electric commercial trucks. I'm just going to go out and just going to take a wild venture that that's probably not the best investment. Just going to say right off the bat. All right. So coming up, we got a lot to get into. We've got all of the stuff going on in D.C. with the House. We've got the latest as it pertains to 2024, because you have New Hampshire that's coming up on Tuesday. And we're going to get into all of that and give you the latest, you know, I think some of the polling is important. So we're going to share all of that with you. Some of the polling, all of that jazz. We've got culture. We got all kinds of stuff. So don't miss. We have a whole bunch more show in the deep freeze that is Texas. Stay with us.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
What's your message to those attending?
March.
What do you say to the March of Life people? March. It's like Frankenstein. What do you say to the March? March. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this first hour. Listen coast to coast. Watch the video component of the radio program. Also, via Channel 347 DirecTV, YouTube, and Facebook as well. Yeah, I'm crabby today because of the... Look at just the CR. Just look at that. I'm still mad about it. Still mad about it. And then you got this guy, President Cheese McCheesehead Daddy Showers up there. What do you say to them? March. I take Fetterman over him at this point as a Democrat person, as a Democrat candidate. Yeah. I would take Fetterman over Biden. Because I think Fetterman, now that he's like, he's recovered, I can't even believe I'm saying these nice things about him. What the hell's wrong with me? Hold up. Let's just do a reality check here. Are we high? Did we accidentally get poisoned? Is me and my coffee okay?
I feel all right.
Whenever it gets like that, I get a little weird, you know. But I would, for real. Like, I mean, he just seems saner than everybody else. So the, March. I can't. Oh my gosh. So he's not really campaigning. They've sent Kamala out to campaign. I called her a hood ornament earlier this week because she is. And some people said it was sexist. I had progressive men tell me that it was sexist. Progressive men. God help us all. Can I just say, it's Friday, so we're just a little bit crazier today. But can I just say, I exercised an insane amount of Christian restraint. And you know that meme where it's Jesus at the keyboard and it's like, and the text above it says me whenever I'm nice to somebody on the internet. And I felt like that. I was like that meme. I feel seen. I mean, I felt like, you know, Jesus probably touched my shoulder and was like, well done, because my response was just straight fire. And I was so impressed with what I was going to originally say. And so I had the good angel and then the little devil on either, you know, opposite shoulders. And the little devil's like, you know, it's so good. It's so funny. And the angel was like, don't do it, Dana. So I listened. I may not do that. That may be the only time this year. But I did listen to the better angel. It was so good, though. Response was so good. Yeah, they said it was sexist because I said she was a hood ornament. Does anybody have a better descriptor? You know, I don't know what to make of their campaign. I don't know. His campaign manager has a job ahead of them. And I got to say that it's not just Republicans that are in a weird spot going towards November. Democrats are too. Voters in the middle are like, we don't know who to hate vote for. That's really the independent party is the hate vote. The sooner you realize this, the better you can reach them. They really are the hate vote. Think about it. Back in 2016, these Democrats would have walked over hot coals to not vote Republican or to not even leave the top of their ballot blank. But they hated Hillary Clinton so bad, they didn't know what to do. It's the hate vote. And nobody knows how to deal with it. Well, I mean, I do, but, you know, no party's going to listen to me because I hate them and they hate me. And I prefer it that way. But it's the hate vote. And you got to, as soon as people realize how to harness that, I mean, that's powerful. It's a powerful thing, right? People are literally motivated. They couldn't stand Hillary Clinton so bad. It hurt Democrats everywhere. It hurt them everywhere. Oh, but I don't, but the campaign though, I look at some of these, especially some of these battleground states. It's not a great thing for Republicans that people are, well, let me put it this way. It's bad for Democrats that all of these people are leaving the Democrat Party. And I've talked about this before. And I really feel like I'm encouraging you to really pay attention to some of this stuff, because these are going to be really good indicators of what to expect as we roll towards 2024. Everything is psychological. And so all of these people that are leaving the Democrat Party, and they're not registering as Republicans. They are staying independents. So that's why it's not necessarily great for Republicans. And it's not all is lost for Democrats. They're like doing a test run on it. I was looking ahead at New Hampshire. Speaking of New Hampshire, now Nikki Haley is performing better in New Hampshire than she is in South Carolina, which is kind of wild. Marianne Williamson was running. I was looking at some of the Democrat. I forgot that Biden had like a couple contenders. That's funny. The machine is so behind him on the left. They really are. But in New Hampshire, I was looking at some of these. I was looking at national polling, and I was also looking at some of the South Carolina. And she is still pulling from the left. And when I look at the Democrat side of things, do you know what I see, especially nationally? And there are a couple of national polls that I do think maybe are where I was reading this last night. This is where I was last night, is looking at all these numbers. And there were some national polls that I thought were pretty interesting, in that all of the ones that I looked at where you had a generous sampling of independents, RFK doesn't pull from Democrats. He's pulling from Republicans. I feel like that should be concerning, right? I mean, it's RFK. I have a whole piece about him. I have several pieces about him, actually, up on Substack, because he is not, you know, he's not a Republican. He's not like a best friend of conservatives. He said a lot of stuff about climate change and Second Amendment and all kinds of stuff that would make it impossible for me to ever even consider him as a contender. That being said, though, he's pulling from the right for some reason. And I think one of the latest polls that I saw, I think he was at 9% nationally. Or sorry, maybe it was 9%. But it was just enough to pull away and put Trump within the margin of error to Biden. It was just enough. Just enough. And so that's something to watch. The other thing to watch, too, going forward, is I really think Haley is, and I don't like saying any of this because I don't like her, but I do feel like she's gaining some momentum. And she'll gain momentum coming out of, I think, New Hampshire for a little bit. She's going to gain momentum from that. So we're going to cover all of that stuff. We're going to deep dive more into that. Okay, so some of the other things to look at. Some Second Amendment stuff. I meant to hit this yesterday. This was it. You need to be aware of this. This was in New Mexico, because I told you before, and I had a whole big piece on it. You know, the governor there, Michelle Grisham, she had fought with her state. She basically said, you know, we have to suspend the Constitution, et cetera, et cetera. She came out with this editorial this week, and it's in the Albuquerque Journal. And she was blaming, again, law-abiding gun owners, and she was blaming semi-automatic firearms. And then she tried to blow smoke up this narrative that Clinton took decisive action in 94. And the data is clear. Banning assault weapons saves lives. It actually doesn't. She doesn't cite any. She gets these magical numbers out of the ether. I mean, the DOJ itself, in fact, it was Obama-Biden's DOJ that disproved this. They actually had zero effect on any of this. It was completely inconsequential, the assault weapons ban. And you also had some of the biggest mass casualty incidents during that time. And one of those was done with a handgun and had nothing to do with the rifles that she was talking about banning. But that being said, though, do you realize how culpable she is in this? Because I've gone over this before, and when she was, because the federal judge blocked her gun ban. She was trying to, you know, do all this stuff. The hierarchy there, going from the AG and everywhere else, is, I mean, they're basically like her hand-picked toadies. The Soros-backed DA, who is now the AG of New Mexico, Raul Torres, he was the DA in Albuquerque. And while he was the Soros-backed DA in Albuquerque, their crime rate was crazy. It spiked on his watch. And he was dismissing cases right and left. That's from the Albuquerque police chief at the time. Their murder rate went up. Robbery increased. I'm just looking at basic publicly available data on Albuquerque. A lot of crimes involving illegally possessed firearms. And the most of the crime and homicide from illegally possessed firearms is drug and gang violence. But you got the DA, you know, dismissing cases right and left. And the new DA wasn't any better. That's also a Grisham handpicked establishment Democrat. And they have a murder problem in New Mexico, with Albuquerque and these blue states in New Mexico, that's driven by this judicial rot problem. So where does she get off blaming your innocent exercise of your rights and acting like that's the factor driving this? She's more culpable than anything. I mean, she's a couple of levels lower in culpability than the actual criminals, because she enables it to happen. Her handpicked toadies that dismiss cases right and left or reduce charges for these dangerous repeat offenders over and over again. That's what they got to deal with in New Mexico. I'm telling you what, you lose the House in 2024, this year in November, you're going to be dealing with this on top of it. This will be what you're dealing with as well. So coming up, we got a lot more. We got Congressman Jim Jordan, who's going to be joining us. That government overreach, the monitoring of purchases with those merchant codes. You know, we talked to Thomas Massie yesterday about this, and he was saying, well, we need legislation on it. Well, what does that look like? I want to talk to Jim Jordan about some of this coming up, and we're going to get into all of that, so you don't want to miss it. You know, when you search for something on Netflix, what you get is only a fraction of what Netflix actually has. Netflix actually has more than something like 18,000 titles globally, but only 6,000 of those are available in the United States. So you're missing out on literally thousands of movies or television shows, anything episodic, unless you use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think that you're located. They have over 100 different locations, so you can gain access to thousands of new programs no matter where you live. Now, this works with a lot of other streaming services too, like Max, BBC iPlayer, Hulu, things like that. So this is something that you should definitely consider. I mean, think about what would you like to watch that maybe you can't access. I mean, there's some British shows that I would like to watch. There's, you know, some anime, there's some movies, all kinds of stuff. And also, I want to kind of hide where I am too, just because I'm always internally suspicious. So this is what ExpressVPN can come in clutch for. Also, it's super fast. I can stream everything in HD with no buffering. Works on any device. I can enjoy toy, whatever I'm watching, from my phone, laptop, tablet, TV, you name it, it just works. And ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security to keep you safe from hackers that want to take your info and sell it on the dark web. So stop missing out on great programming and get thousands of new shows with ExpressVPN. And we got them to give you guys an extra 3 months free when you use our special link, expressvpn.com/Dana. That's expressvpn.com/Dana to get 3 extra months completely free.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
It was that, you know, men are created equal with unalienable rights, right? That was what we all knew.
Unalienable. Well, there you go. I mean, maybe she's having an off day. I'm not going to go after. I don't care if somebody like struggles over, you know, like a pronunciation thing. I'm going to go after. I'm more appalled by the trying to retcon history about support for Chinese businesses and working with China and having the CCP like actually buy land in your state. That's like that's a real thing, by the way. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. Your hostess for this Friday afternoon. Okay, so I've got an owl update. I'm heartbroken. Owl Bundy, the attic owl that we had that somehow magically got into our attic, and it's been we've been struggling to find somebody to deal with it because the wildlife rehabber people, they were like, oh, it's real cold. And, you know, I mean, it's, I guess, I don't know, is that a bad time to transfer owls? And also, you'd have to get up on our roof, and that's like super dangerous to do so, to try to figure out where the hole is so he doesn't, you know, come back and all this stuff. Well, my son reported that at one point, and this was the other night, not last night, but the night before, he heard some commotion in the attic because I told you that Owl Bundy didn't really make a mess up there, right? Like, there weren't really any droppings, and he didn't tear anything up. He was, like, a very, very nice tenant. So I actually wasn't really opposed to him being there. I mean, you know, we've got, you know, he has a water source not far off the property. You know, he's got, you know, he's living the life, right? But he heard some commotion, he said, in the middle of the night, and a very faint, whoo. And then the next morning, my husband found Al Bundy just laying on the ground. There was nothing he could have eaten in there. There was no, you know, I don't know what it was. I don't know what happened. But it's so depressing. It's so sad. And so, yeah, we had to dispose of him. That's horrible. So I'm heartbroken because I had an owl. And I just feel like this year's starting off horribly because I had an owl and now I don't. So I was super bummed out about it.
I mean, what would you have had it done? Go to the pet store, get some hamsters? Like, what would you have done to be able to feed this thing?
Well, I think he was eating totally just fine. Yeah. Because there were droppings outside. And I think he just wasn't messing up his own place. You know, you don't where you eat, you know, I get it. But he was a very considerate tenant. But we're like by ranches. We're, you know, so he was not without any kind of shortage of food for real. And he had a water side. I think it was the same owl. So when we moved into our house some years ago, there was an owl that lived here that lived outside in the patio. And I think it's the same owl. And I'm just wondering if it was old age because he's been here. He's been here every year. But he was outside. Now he was inside, which really meant he was mine and I named him. Although we called him Houdini before outside. I think it's the same owl. But I'm just heartbroken because, I mean, I don't know. Did they die? I mean, it's, I guess, old age. I don't know how long they live. How long do owls live? They're so wise. How long do they live? So I'm really bummed. I don't have an owl anymore, my attic owl. So I don't know what to do. It's a new day and I'm just lost. You know, even though he literally only realized he was living in the attic like a week ago, but I'm just, you know, I'm lost now. So that's the bad news about Owl Bundy. That's the bad news.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Super bummed. Is it weird if I stuff him?
Yeah. I would say yes.
Is it though?
Yeah.
I mean, because then I could remember him always, and it's still like I have an owl.
Take a picture, it'll last longer.
Chris, shockingly enough, did not take that proposal very well either. Because it was like, what if we stuffed him and put him with our other, you know, because we got some animal trophies on a wall. I'm like, what if we put him up there? And, you know, it'd be cool if he was on the wall with his wings out, right? I mean, cool. Yeah. But apparently that's considered gross. Bummers. All right. So I'm sad. I'm sad. I've got to have a new owl friend. Anyway, we have our second hour on the way. I just had to give you that update. I'm super bummed. And all the latest in D.C., we got Congressman Jim Jordan, who's going to be joining us as well. We're all being spied on because of what we buy. And I just bought a whole bunch of Jolly Ranchers. What does that mean? Stick with us.
Appreciate it very much. I also want to mention Congressman Deborah Ross. Where's Deborah? This year, I just had my picture taken with her. That's probably why she left. No, all kidding aside. Anyway, she couldn't be here, actually. That's not true. I got it mixed up. And she has, she fights very hard for the people of this district, and she's up in Washington right now.
He doesn't even remember this woman who's not here. I just had a picture with her. Maybe I didn't. Golly. Come on, people. It is something. Where was this at? How in the world does this keep there? You know what I'm going to tell you? Don't think that you're going to have debates. The American people are not entitled to expect debates. Everybody's going to be, basement campaigning is a new thing. Everybody's going to be in it. I mean, well, you can see him. If I was his campaign manager, there's no way in hell I'd let him go out. I wouldn't let him leave the house. There's no way. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. Top of this second hour. Coming up, we have Congressman Jim Jordan. He's going to be joining us. And, golly, the issues that I think, I was just thinking about there. I don't know when the last time it was that Biden stood before a bunch of reporters for the sole purpose of answering their questions. Just a Q&A. Not like I'm going to walk past a microphone at an event, but you know, actually a question and answer. And I can't imagine how he would address the border issue. Speaking of which, that keeps heating up more and more. We have the border disaster declaration from the governor. I don't know if you saw this or not. I tweeted it. Let me pull this up. Was it last night that I tweeted this? Maybe it was. I tweeted this yesterday. At some point yesterday, where people are infuriated, and I've been watching all of these very leftist reporters out there. They're mad because they are reinstalling the razor wire in fencing. So they've had, you could say, remember how they had, what group was it that set up their autonomous zone in Portland? Chaz Chop. Well, if they can do that, then why can't we do this?
That's a great point.
Shelby Park is our Chaz Chop. Fight us. So they've been reinstalling more razor wire and fencing. And all of these reporters, like I saw this one guy, he's from Chicago. They're reinstalling more razor wire. Texas is defying the Biden administration. Yeah, well,
defying.
Wait a minute, Biden's defying the law.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? He's defying the actual law. So no, that's not. Is that what this is? Not what this is. But they've started reinstalling all that wire. He won the fight over the buoys. I told you about that. And hopefully this will contribute to some kind of reduction of what we're seeing. So they said that Texas Department of Public Safety, they've been arresting people for criminal trespass who are illegally entering the country. They got video. Good. I'm glad they are. It's about time. Operation Lone Star. They said they're maintaining a proactive posture in curbing illegal border crossings between ports of entry. He did not have any help from the Republicans in D.C. last night. None. So as mad as we get at the Biden administration for the open border policies that they have, as mad as we get about at them over that, I got to be honest with you, you should be just as mad at the Republicans who enable it to happen. Including this new passage, the shutdown bill or stopgap bill. Oh, we're just going to push it back and deal with it in March. The House passing at 314 to 108. You know, so as angry as we get at the Democrats over this, at Biden over this, any help that Abbott would have received from the Republicans in D.C. just disappeared. They're not going to help. That's enraging. And this is an election year. I don't know why they're so afraid to take the stand in an election year. Because this is one of the driving issues for voters. So in the meantime, Texas is just, you know, fighting this battle. These border states are fighting this battle. And they're going to remember who was holding the line and who wasn't. Kicking this can down the road to March isn't doing it. Not doing it at all. One of the things that the House, and we're going to talk to Jim Jordan about all this. One of the things that the House has been dealing with, too, is this issue with monitoring what people purchase through these merchant codes. This has been going on for quite a little bit. This program actually began, I hate to say it, and again, it's something else. I brought this up to Thomas Massey yesterday. I'm like, well, y'all just discovering this? But it began under the Trump administration. It was implemented, according to paperwork, before Biden took office in 2021. Why are Republicans just now finding out about this or the scope of it? What in the world? Massey, we have our interview up on YouTube and you can go find that. He was explaining some of this yesterday. But this tracking, so like if you went, you know, you heard everybody talking about it. If you went to like to purchase a Bible or you went to Bass Pro or something like that. I mean, you realize like the where my family comes from in southern Missouri. The biggest stores down there are like Buckeyes, the Bass Pros, Buckeyes, Tractor Supply, or their version of Tractor Supply. There's like different local kind of versions of it. I mean, that's like those are the big stores, right? And I remember specifically when I was a kid going to, and this was near Piedmont, Missouri, with my grandpa to get stuff for his cows. They had actual feed and all this stuff there. But they had gumballs there, and I love those gumballs. And they had sour cherry balls there. You could get every, I mean, it was like, oh, I know, dude. Country sour cherry balls are where it's at, man. Oh my gosh. And so that's like the stores everybody goes to, right? Everybody goes to those stores. So now, like, if you're making purchases, you know, and that merchant code comes up. What is that? What is that supposed to signal to the feds? I'm just like, what are they going to get out of that? For real? Oh, looks like we might have some insurrection-y stuff happening here. Somebody went to Bass Pro. Ooh. Just asinine. But the idea, and this is, again, this is all stuff that your tax dollars are paying for, by the way. Pretty crazy. But that they're watching, you know, they're watching all this and they were doing this with trying to do this with, you know, firearm purchases, everything else, like a backdoor registry kind of. But they've been weaponizing the financial industry for some time. So like, what is it? Cabela's. I was trying to think of all, there's like a huge list. I'm looking at like the actual list here. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. So I guess, I mean, this is, it's pretty, and of course, it's all warrantless, right? There's no legal recourse for people at all whatsoever. And Jim Jordan and Thomas Massey have been leading the charge on this. And then they also, it was Zelle payments. They looked at bus tickets, rental cars, plane tickets, travel to areas with no apparent purpose. Like you, now you're talking about our freedom of travel to be able to go where we want. Purchase of books, MAGA, all kinds of stuff in here. You know, who cares about the Fourth Amendment anymore? Oh, and then, you know, don't forget the Catholics. Those terrorists. Good heavens. This, I told you, what have I told you for so long? It doesn't matter if you own a gun. These weaponized institutions are going to widen their net. It's not going to be just about if you've ever purchased firearms or if you've ever gone to a gun store, if you've purchased ammunition or whatever. It's not going to be about that. It's not going to even be about if you've gone to Bass Pro. This is going to be used to go after any kind of perceived resistance to big government. And it's already expanded way beyond firearms. Remember when it was just, you know, if you were purchasing something and they were using merchant codes to denote whether it was a gun purchase or not. And I really feel like there were some people who just didn't care because they just didn't go, they weren't buying guns. And so, oh, well, that's not me. I don't care. Well, now look, you should, because now look, everybody's going to get caught up in this. You do one thing, just because you walk into like a Cabela's doesn't mean that you should be flagged as a potential domestic extremist by your government. Because you know what they're saying, don't you? They're saying that average, everyday Americans, mostly from flyover, are extremists. You're the biggest threat that they perceive. I mean, they're going to go after everybody. Ooh, you know what I just realized? Who are the other people that like don't hunt and don't buy guns that go into these stores? The outdoorsy people. And they could even be lefties. So remember when we were when we went to Portland for one of our affiliates?
Oh yeah.
I'm not even kidding you, dude. You get off. We got off. We were joking about this the whole time. Not because we were making fun of people, because we felt woefully out of sorts. Yeah, like Steve says, the hippie campers, the Subaru drivers, the Volvo owners. Everyone looked like they were getting ready to get off the plane and go hike a mountain. Dude, you know they weren't. Unless they were going to go check on their pot farm. You know they weren't. They were like straight up lefty hippies that like enjoyed, you know, going outdoors. I bet REI comes up on it too. Steve is like, well, they shop at REI. Yeah, but I've seen some of them hippies. I've seen some of them at Bass Pro. I've seen some of them there. Because they got some of the same stuff at better prices. Anyway, so all those people are going to get caught up in this. Think about it. Oh, you like going outdoors and hiking and doing all that? You like, what do you call it, Kane? Going out bare? We call it going out barefoot. What do you call it? Like grounding or something?
Yeah, grounding. Yeah.
What if you're like one of those crystals and oils and bacteria tea people and you want to, you know, go out with your bare feet and you like to go to Bass Pro and Cabela's to go get your hippie stuff?
I feel like you're making fun.
No, I'm just, you know, saying.
Sounds a lot like that's what you're doing.
You're not a hippie. You don't got nothing to worry about.
I just happen to like
I'm not
some
watching
of that stuff.
You. There's nothing for you to worry about. All See?
Right. Okay.
Feels like you're talking. No. That's literally the conversation people are having with the government right now. It feels like you're watching me. No, we're not. We promise.
Not at all.
We're not at all watching you. Makes notes. Not at all watching you. Hmm. When those see, this is why I was saying you. These are all variables. At some point, they're going to come for you. At some point, and they are. They are already. We got a lot more on the way. We got headlines coming up. You don't want to miss. And coming up also, Congressman Jim Jordan at the bottom of the hour. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It is our friends, veteran owned. They employ retired and active duty veterans, and they do a lot of work with veteran and first responder causes. It's Black Rifle Coffee. I am a member of the Black Rifle Coffee Club, and you can be too. You can get 30% off of your first subscription order with code Dana. The absolute best coffee you can get. I honestly can't really drink anything else. Even if I'm traveling, I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm trying to figure out how to bring a French press to a SHOT Show because I'm just delivered fresh to your door. You choose your brew, how often you want it, no shipping fee. And you never run out of coffee. Take your experience up to a whole new level. The AK-47 Espresso, Thin Blue Line, that's their medium roast. The Freedom Fuel Dark Roast. I love the Silencer Smooth also. Pick your delivery schedule. You're done. Again, no shipping fee. And you're going to save. It's affordable. And they have everything you need for the perfect brew, too. Grinders, mugs, everything and more. And every time you shop with Black Rifle Coffee, you're helping fuel their mission to support veteran and first responder causes. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join the Black Rifle Coffee Club today and get 30% off your first month with code Dana. Start saving money on high-quality coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the feds are banning humorous electronic messages on roadways. Now that seems, you're like, probably like, why is that? Why are they? Well, they, I don't know, they are. The U.S. Federal Highway Administration has given states 2 years to implement all the changes outlawed in its new 1,100-page manual that they released last month. It includes rules that spell out how signs and other traffic control devices are regulated. And they say that overhead electronic signs with obscure meanings or pop culture references, or if they're trying to be funny, they're going to ban them because they can be misunderstood and distracting to drivers. We're babies. We're just, the government's just going to give us a giant binky. That's just really what it is. Come on. And those are the ones that I remember. Everything else I ignore, you know. A Mississippi mom says her 7-year-old son was written up for saying Jesus Christ at school. I mean, that headline kind of says it all, doesn't it? They said that the 7-year-old, the note from teacher, now he didn't, the way that I think this is being reported and what actually happened really are kind of two different things. He said it like it was a cuss word. I would get my kid in trouble for that. He didn't get in trouble for it because they don't want you talking about the Lord. No, the teacher said, quote, he said Jesus Christ when he dropped the Legos he was cleaning up from recess. So she said that he said a bad word, and the way that it's being promoted is that, oh my gosh, he can't, you know, it's being promoted that it's like a religious thing. It's not. Do I think he needed to be written up for saying it? No, just be like, come on, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Just say that. But he's a first grader. Come on. And he had to hear it from somewhere. Where did he hear it from? Just saying, I learned it by watching you. Let's see here. Japan landed a spacecraft on the moon. This is a first for the country. Now, the fifth nation now that's ever landed anything on the moon. Japan became the fifth country to put a spacecraft on the moon. The probe was not generating solar power, its space agency said, during a mission to prove a precision landing technology and revitalize the space program that suffered some setbacks. The Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency said its Smart Lander for investigating the moon, aka SLIM, landed on the surface about 12:20 a.m., established communication. The solar panels that were not able to generate electricity, so I guess they're troubleshooting. But, you know, there they go. Look at that. A new species of hedgehog. It has shorter spikes. Somebody measured this? Is it like, no, I would not have even noticed it. Apparently it's in China. It's probably like something's wrong with it, and they're trying to say that they got a new hedgehog. I don't know. Jim Jordan, next.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. You can listen coast to coast on an affiliate near you. You can stream the radio program and watch the video component, the simulcast on Channel 347 DirecTV, as well as Facebook and YouTube. Joining us now from D.C., one of our favorites, Congressman Jim Jordan, who has just been going to town with the Judiciary Committee. And I mean, some of the stuff that he's uncovered is pretty freaky. We were just talking about some of this last segment. Congressman, as always, good to have you. I want to get to the CR stuff and all of that. Sure. I spoke with Congressman Massey yesterday, and he was telling us more about what you guys have uncovered with this federal regulator going after our purchases using these merchant codes. And I told people when this first came up with FFLs and firearm purchases that this net was going to be widened and it was going to expand to include everybody. What can be done to stop this?
Well, first you draw attention to it. And that's what we're in the middle of doing, investigating this. And I just want to go back. We first learned about this because we had an FBI whistleblower come forward, and he had gotten information that the government requested from a big bank, Bank of America, which talked about all debit credit card purchases of people in a certain location for a certain amount of time. So in the D.C. area around January 6, 2021. And then they also asked, the government asked the bank, and overlay that with any any gun purchase at any time. And it looks like they solicited his information without a warrant, without any legal process. That's the scary part, because when you have financial surveillance at the request of the government without a warrant, that's not supposed to be how the Fourth Amendment and the Bill of Rights works. And now we find it looks like it's broader than that, where there are key terms they're looking for. If you shopped at Cabela's, if you bought a Bible or a religious text at the Christian bookstore. I mean, for goodness sake, that's half the people I represent who make those kind of purchases. So we're going to continue to dig into this and we'll see what we find. But it's pretty troubling what we've discovered thus far.
And all through the J6, I mean, it all began with that J6, the witch hunt into J6. I mean, people who weren't even actually, we talked about this too, people who even weren't even there in D.C. that, you know, the FBI came knocking on their door talking with Congressman Jim Jordan. So I know, I mean, is there an order? Because as you said, I mean, it's a violation of Fourth Amendment. It seems almost redundant to say that we should have legislation to protect us against what the Constitution should already have affirmed for us. But I mean, I don't know how else to counter it and to make them stop and hold them accountable.
Yeah, I mean, so sometimes just the oversight, just doing the investigation will change behavior. We saw that, for example, when, you know, 5-6 months ago, the IRS announced we will no longer be making unannounced visits to American citizens' homes. And the commissioner said, we're doing this to protect the safety of our agents. Baloney. They were doing it because we caught him knocking on Matt Taibbi's door at the very moment he was testifying in front of our committee. We made a big to do that. So sometimes you just change behavior of these agencies by drawing attention to it. Other times you need to put forward legislation, but, you know, and that's our ultimately our function as a legislative body. So I think we'll look at that as well as we go through this. But yeah, that's, you know, what was really interesting though about some of these initial documents we've received. They sound an awful lot like, the language used sounds an awful lot like that memorandum that we got about a year ago from the Richmond field office of the FBI, where they said if you were a pro-life Catholic, you're potentially an extremist, a domestic violent extremist. That is the same language it looks like some of these initial documents we're starting to get in. It sounds the same kind of language used there. So again, that's troubling as well.
And you mentioned too, I mean, again, going back to, you know, the Bank of America starting this, they, from what I remember, they handed information to 211 people over to the FBI, but nobody was arrested from that. So if anyone thinks that this was like some kind of fruitful effort, literally nobody was arrested out of the 211 that they handed over to the FBI, correct?
Yeah. And I would argue more importantly, the whistleblower said, there was no criminal predicate. There was no proper predicate, no probable. Why were we getting this information? Why was it? And he was very concerned about it and didn't think it was appropriate to use that kind of information, go collect that kind of information from banks. So this is an FBI agent who's worked all kinds. This particular agent was involved in some big cases in the New England area of our country. I mean, this was the guy who knew his stuff and has since retired from the FBI. So this was an agent who knew what he was doing, and he was troubled by what he saw. That's how we first got into this. And again, as I said, we're going to keep moving.
It's like a more extreme. It's like the practice of the syntax on steroids in a way, the way that they're approaching this, the perspective through which they're trying to surveil people through purchases. Talking with Congressman Jim Jordan, I want to switch gears here. The CR went through the House last night, the stopgap measure. There's a lot of consternation, I think, is the best way to describe it, because I know now you got another March deadline coming up. Talk to me a little bit about this. I know the struggle is real for conservatives like yourselves in the House. I get it. But what can be done? Because everyone's looking at the border. I mean, we got 290,000 people coming across just in, as you know, December alone. What can be done? What are we going to do here? Is this, because I feel like March comes and we're going to kick the can down the road again.
Yeah, and we got some other big issues too. We got the borders you talk about, which should be, I think, front and center. We got the FISA issue. We got to get that system reformed, for goodness sake. I mean, we got a bill that we think is good that came out of our committee that needs to pass. So a number of big things all kind of come and do at the same time. Look, you're right. The border is the biggest situation, and it shouldn't require a spending bill. Or it shouldn't require some supplemental to attach it to some, you know, this Ukraine funding. It shouldn't require that. It should just get done. We're on pace to go 12 million. Migrants coming in the country in the Biden presidency. And I told a group the other day, that's the equivalent of the entire population of Ohio. And we're the seventh biggest state in the country. That's the magnitude of this problem. And yet this administration doesn't want to fix it. They don't want to fix it because they're intentionally causing it for whatever reason. For what reason, who knows? But that should be our focus. We should try to get that done. It just doesn't look like the Democrat Senate and certainly the Biden White House want to work with.
Yeah, that's doesn't sound like it at all. We're talking with Congressman Jim Jordan about this as well. The CR, the border, the situation with I'm going to pull this up because the this is the other thing. Going back to the regulators, there's this whole thing with the digital currency and the ability. I hear every day from people who are like, okay, so when you have so-and-so on, ask them what they're doing to stop, you know, this further regulation, the digital currency, all of this other stuff, this oversight into our, I mean, financial behavior, looking at all American consumer behavior, for the lack of a better way to put it. The CBDCs, the control of money, we're in a brave new world kind of territory where I get the advent of a lot of new technological capability and the financial institution with it. It's where there's a lot of gray area here. What are you all looking at in terms of protections for Americans in the House?
Well, you may need to look at some of the laws on the books right now and make changes to those. But I think in a broader sense, you may need to have consequences for people who censor Americans. So the first year of this Congress, we focused a lot on the Judiciary Committee and the Select Committee on the weaponization of government. We focused on the censorship issue, big government, big tech, big media, big academia, all working together to censor Americans' First Amendment free speech right. And now we find out that there's this financial surveillance. I think this will be a lot of where we focus now. But it's all tied together. It's the weaponization of these agencies, the turning of these agencies on we the people, on the citizens who they're supposed to serve. Instead, they're weaponized against those individuals. That is a huge issue for the country. In fact, in Iowa last week in the caucuses, eight out of 10 Republicans going to the caucuses said that they felt the government has been weaponized against the American people. And the reason they believe that is because it has. They got common sense. They thought that is, and that motivated a number of people to come out in 20 below weather to vote for President Trump. So this is a huge issue. The country rightfully gets what's going on. We got to make sure we get the facts out there and then look at the appropriate legislative solutions, whether it's the ability to sue the government if, in fact, they infringe on your First Amendment free speech rights and try to censor you, if it's changing the Bank Secrecy Act and other things that currently are the law of the land when it comes to your financial data. All that stuff we got to get into.
There you go. Congressman Jim Jordan from the great state of Ohio. We appreciate you following this story. I know you got a hard out coming up because you're busy in D.C. today. We appreciate it and keeping everybody updated on all of this. Huge, huge issue. Thank you so much. Good to see you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Take care.
We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up and head towards, as well, Florida man. I just think I go back to all the FFL stuff and the merchant codes for firearms and how that was even used as a way to like threaten some manufacturers at pawn stores, too. Weren't they included in that? Mm-hmm. The merchant code stuff with all the pawn shops and everything else. We are getting into, again, it's a brave new world, everything digital, plus the financial sector and the easy ability to try to regulate behavior and enact policy without actually going through Congress through these means. It's brave new world. Really, it is. It's Huxley. Women have different needs from dudes, and women even have different needs from other women, depending on what stage they are in their lives. Nimi Skincare understands that, and any skincare company should. This is why they were created. And so with Nimi Skincare, first off, this is a company that uses USA ingredients, made in the USA ingredients. They're made in the USA. No parabens, none of those horrible, ridiculous, harsh, artificial synthetic chemicals. And they don't test on animals either. But they are all about making sure that you have what you need to have healthy skin. So they have introduced two new routines, their Wake Up Right routine, where you can give your skin a morning boost of vitamin C and peptides. And then they have their bedtime moisturizing routine. This is great, especially when it's going to be like 7 degrees here in Texas, for example, because it's ultra hydrating. It's going to replenish your skin, keep you moisturized while you sleep, and it's packed with soothing, restorative ingredients. And your skin will thank you for this. And like I said, they share your values, but they also understand and celebrate that women are different and women need different things. Nimi Skincare products are 100% guaranteed. So take the guesswork out of your routine with Nimi Skincare. Visit NimiSkincare.com. That's N-I-M-I Skincare.com and use promo code Dana for 10% off. Your skin will thank you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, I got to tell you, sometimes these people get very creative. Some of the good Florida man stuff. All right, this first one, let's do. Okay, so this had to do with somebody leaving their phone behind in a Walmart, which is why always like double check your stuff, right? Like always double check your stuff. So this was in Port Charlotte. Deputies arrested a Northport man after he allegedly used someone else's phone to call in a bomb threat at a Walmart. So what ended up happening is this Florida guy left his phone in the bathroom, and then the stranger named Cody Clements admitted to using it to make a bomb threat. Deputies say that they got a call from this dude, from this guy's phone at about 3 p.m., and that they responded to it. It was, I'm not even going to say the name of the street. I can't even, there's like a lot of vowels in it. They said that the 911 call said that there was a bomb in the supermarket, and they literally made a tick-tock noise before hanging up. So then the sheriff's office was able to get in contact with the person who actually owned the phone. And he was like, well, I accidentally left my phone in the bathroom. And then he said he noticed that 911 was calling him on his Bluetooth watch. So he pinged the phone to find it. And then deputies say they saw Clements in the bathroom at the time of the call. And he was found after coming back to the store. And then he said his excuse was, oh, I just saw a trend on TikTok of people doing this. What? Is that going to be the... Well, he was totally arrested because you can't make a false report about planting a bomb or some kind of like weapon of mass destruction. That's like a big bad no-no. Yeah, he was totally arrested. So there,
you know. A
TikTok
challenge?
Don't even encourage it.
Didn't it start like back then? Remember the cinnamon challenge? Where they had to do a whole tablespoon of cinnamon, and then people were like choking to death and coughing.
Yes.
And all that. Remember that? That started
Can't
with that.
Can that kill you?
I probably. But then it moved on to like Tide Pods. Remember that?
Don't encourage them. Don't bring that back.
Why are
Don't
we
do
doing
it.
Stupid internet challenges? It's
a veteran. Okay, you guys remember this story about the woman who had her whole driveway stolen in Florida? You guys remember that? Like, she like legit came home and her driveway was straight up stolen. Never heard of that before. But anyway, so she had her driveway stolen right off her property. She had a happy ending because of a local veteran whose concrete company replaced her entire driveway for free. Oh. That is amazing. Mikkel Rowland, he's a veteran who lives in Orange County. He was shocked to hear about Amanda Brochu because, you know, she caught contractors on her property saying that they had been asked for a quote to replace her driveway by someone who claimed to be the landlord. She's like, I'm the landlord. And they ended up like they stole like the asphalt off her driveway. So this was awesome. So this awesome veteran, he replaced her entire driveway for free. And he goes, I do it 10 times over. He was just like so upset after he saw that story that he just wanted to do it. He didn't do it for like media attention. He just was like, I'm going to do something nice. That's horrible that this happened to her. And so he and a family member started their company, and they specialize in concrete. So it's called MM Concrete Specialty. And they replaced her driveway for free. So MM Concrete Specialty. If you're anywhere around Orange County, Florida, the driveway is nice looking too, I might add. It is a nice looking driveway. And they were able to get it done super fast for us. So that's awesome. So I love happy stories like that. That's so nice because everything is so bad. Usually it's so great. Let's see here. I got a couple. Oh, I got several others, actually. Got the security one. This guy... This is unbelievable. So this Florida man walked a whole mile with a bullet in his head to get help after he was shot. 44 years old. He's in critical condition. He walked a mile to his friend's house. There was a fight that escalated over a woman, according to police. Christopher Hastings and an unidentified 44-year-old were arguing at a friend's house. Per Holly Hill Police Department, the fight escalated. Hastings pulled the gun out and shot the other dude in the head. And the victim had a friend who lived about a mile and a half away, and he walked to that dude's house and called the police. That's some pretty, that's determined, man.
That's a will.
That's a will to live. That's like the survival instinct coming out. He's in serious condition. He's in the hospital now. He's in, and the perp is at the Volusia County Branch Jail. But the victim is in serious condition in the hospital. He was able to walk to his friend's house. That's crazy. Let's see here. This does sound like a punk band name. Florida high school band director and the counselor led a high school sex cult. No. This is a movie.
It is.
A band director, school guidance counselor. It was at Leesburg High School. It was it was a high school sex cult. There's no other way to say it. They said that the group had disbanded, but apparently they still got in trouble. They said that, I mean, they all have the receipts. A former student told police that the guidance counselor had sent sexual text messages, asked to meet up. And apparently the police got involved and they ended up busting the adults, obviously. The Lake County School Board also got involved, according to police. And they don't give any names. I mean, I can imagine everybody's minors, but the school counselor had resigned and they also got rid of the band director and the incident report. They said it was like a cult like group led by the counselor, and the counselor was also a member. This is so weird. There's a lot of effort. Not reading this one. Nope. Nor are we doing that one. No, these are so bad. Oh, and then we got this Florida man who got a 6-year prison sentence after he pledged support to ISIS.
Oh.
Yeah, Moad Ben Cabo.
Sounds right.
Yeah, convicted on charges of lying to investigators. He is going to spend the next 6 years in prison because he pledged to support ISIS. And he was found, trying to obstruct an investigation, apparently. And he was trying to join them, according to records. He'd been trying to join them online and contact them, etc. So, yeah, you can't be doing that either. Stick with us. We got a whole other third hour on the way.
Governor, the New York Times says that Tim Scott's endorsing Donald Trump tonight. What would that mean to your campaign?
We'll wait and see if it happens.
Have you talked to him lately?
She's not going to answer your question. That's Nikki Haley. That's, telling you what. She didn't look happy with that. You can read another woman's expression. You can read. And she was, did you see, like for a split second, it was ice. What? And then she caught herself for like a second. Welcome back to the show. Top of the third hour. It's Friday. Oh my gosh. We're trying, we're keeping sane because we're rolling into New Hampshire. We got New Hampshire on Tuesday. And we got SHOT Show. I'm going to be at SHOT Show next week. I'm not going to be shorting you out on New Hampshire coverage either. It's still, New Hampshire gets to have their say. And then we go into South Carolina and then it's Super Tuesday. And it might be evident after that. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's, I just like everybody as much as possible getting to say you're owed that. I am not one of the people who's going to be advocating for shortchanging voices. I am not that person. So you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the show. Make sure you follow up to Chapter and Verse, Substack, because Lorraine follows all of the legal stuff because she loves that. And she follows all. She gets into the legal weeds. And that's how I just read it. And that's how I know what's going on, because the stuff with the court cases and the Fannie Williams, all of this stuff, there's so much to keep track of. You need to know it though. So she does a good job of giving you the 30,000 foot view of it. So I would highly recommend that you go and you check that out. All right. So, that's that. Golly, there's so much. They are duking it out with her. So there's been a couple different oppo drops on her just today. Golly. Some of it's like rumor stuff that I've heard before. I don't like getting into stuff when it involves people's families and all of that, unless I've seen it with my own eyes and all of that stuff, you know. But it's getting nasty. Do you think that it's been floated that he is looking at her for VP? I will say this. I do know for a fact that there has been an effort with her donors to push her to the front runner as a potential if he cinches the nomination, because she's got a lot of establishment donors and he's got legal bills. And I know that that has been pushed because there are big establishment people in Texas that are pushing her hardcore. And it's a little fascinating. It's very interesting to watch this kind of play out. So just FYI, just I'm telling you, keep an eye on that. Let me put this down too, just in the event that it would be. Let's say that everything goes statistically on this trajectory. Say that Trump cinches the nomination. And what if he does pick Haley as his VP? You're only getting one. You can only have one term max with him. That was honestly one of my big things factored into the primary, because you only get one term with him. And then we got to do this whole nightmare again in 4 years, which is hard on everybody. You are literally going to put her in a position to be president. You realize that, right? It's being pushed hard. I just want you to know that. That is true. It's being pushed hard. That's why there's a fight within his camp right now. And there is. There's not a fight, but some division in his camp over this. Because people are really pushing her. And there are some who are like, are you nuts to consider this? Are you nuts? So we'll see. But I'm just saying it. Someone was saying that, I don't know if this is true, if this was a campaign thing that was floated out there as to whether or not it could be Elise Stefanik. Elise Stefanik is just Nikki Haley in the House. No offense, but she's a super moderate. And I also think it would be dumb because he's from New York. I mean, he lives in Florida now, but he's from New York. You can't have two people from one state. That's just not, golly, that goes against everything. Because, you know, Stefanik could even be a super conservative Republican. She's not, but she could be. But just because she's from New York, I kid you not, I literally know people in my own family who would be like, that's like the salsa being from New York. This is from New York City. They would. There's no way. There's just no way. That's just the way it is. I'm telling you. So I don't know. And it can't be Vivek. It can't be him. Although, have him be your like press dude. He would actually be good in that role.
Great job, Dad.
Yeah, he wouldn't take the pay cut. I wouldn't either. He wouldn't take the pay cut. He'd be kind of dumb too, but, you know. Anyway, so just floating that out there. I got to play this audio for you. Hang on. Let me pull this up. Where's this at? Audio soundbite 21. This came out. It is Haley debating herself. It really is, though. Listen.
I would not run if President Trump ran. I'm Nikki Haley, and I'm running for president. I will not now, not ever, support raising the gas tax. Let's increase the gas tax by 10 cents over the next 3 years. A huge issue that I'll deal with as soon as I get there is social media. They need to verify every single person on their outlet, and I want it by name. I never said government should go and require anyone's
name.
I think China's been a really great friend of ours. Yes, I view China as an enemy. That was not what I intended to say. I do not think we need to pull money from the UN. The UN, the only thing is we would defund the UN as much as possible.
When a 12-year-old child in this country, assigned female at birth, says, actually, I feel more comfortable living as a boy, what should the law allow the response to be?
Well, I think the law should stay out of it, and I think parents should handle it. I think there should be federal involvement. You should not have any gender-altering anything done to a child before the age of 18.
So that's a lot to. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you can't have. Come on.
Tale of two Haleys.
Remember how we said that Vivek Ramaswamy was like the. Dude, she just stole your crown. She straight up swiped it. Swiper, no swiping. She took it. Oh my gosh. This is just going to be. It's going to be. I want to tell you this too. I saw this on social media a little earlier. Because there are so many bots out there. There are so many campaign bots. And they are paid. I want you to know that because people have been caught. And I have screenshots the day is long of people actually admitting that they've been paid and other, you know. And I don't know if it, I mean, nobody's ever, I've never taken a check from a politician, proudly. But I don't know if it's done on all, I think Vivek did it. I think that the people that tweet for DeSantis's campaign are literally like his campaign people. I don't really see a lot of crazy bots, but I do. I mean, I've seen a lot of accounts on social media, even Facebook, that are very new and they're super aggressive. They only tweet about one thing, and you can Google reverse image search their picture, and it like it's like a stock image. There's tons of them that are like that. But there was one guy today, and someone sent me all of the receipts for it. It is a paid account. It's a campaign farm account for they farm for engagement. And they say the craziest stuff, and they try to incite arguments and hatred and just nastiness amongst the right. Sometimes I wonder if this isn't a leftist psyop, if I'm being really honest with you. Because I think that people who truly are America first don't do this stuff. I really don't believe that they do. If they're really for America first, they're not going to engage in this stupid stuff because they're like me. I will steamroll your damn grandmother over to win. I don't care. I want to win so bad in 2024. I will steamroll over your grandmother, you, and your dog. I don't care. I'm not joking. I'm so serious. People are like, ha ha, Dana, you're joking, right? It's like that Star Wars Queen Amidala meme. You're joking, right? Ha ha, you're joking. No, I'm not. I'm Anakin. No, I'm not. Anyway, this bot, I've noticed these, all these accounts, and then they have the engagement that all goes with it, right? Like all of this other engagement. And so this dude was like, oh, you called Trump people cultists. And I'm like, well, I voted for him twice. What are you talking about? When have I ever said that? I'm on here 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday. Everything I write is public. Everything. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everything is public. Should be pretty easy to put up some receipts, so do that. Oh my gosh, and they started deleting tweets and everything else. But not after they had, and I noticed this, there were 52 accounts that were all created around August, September of 2022 until all the way up until November of 23. They all followed each other. Some of them had a number of stock photos or just like AI images. And they all were like, and it was trying to create this narrative by replying to it and trying to amp it up to drive division with this. And then they started deleting tweets and everything when the receipts came out. I'm telling you this story because not everything that you see, even on social, obviously, especially on social media, is as it seems. Not everything that you see is as it seems. And a lot of the nastiness may not necessarily be someone that you think they are. It may not be somebody that is making that vote, or it may not be an actual supporter. Because I know that if I were on the left and I wanted to try to divide the right, I would do everything. I would do this. This is exactly what I would do. Divide and make them conquer each other. I would absolutely do that. So don't buy into it. Because out of everything that I have seen, the nastiest stuff, they're not real accounts. Even on Facebook, sometimes in my Facebook comments, there's really nasty stuff. They're brand new accounts. Some of them aren't even a year old. It's purposefully to drive division on the right. So do not play into that stuff. And don't be afraid to speak out just because you see it. Because that's also a tactic of the left. The left loves to overwhelm people with whom they dissent on the right and just try to snuff out their voice just with quantity of response. So don't be afraid to speak out. Not at all. And just remember that not everything really is as it seems digitally. And give each other grace because of that. Because I tell you something, this is the last exit off the highway. However you want to look at it. That's it. We have headlines on the way that you don't want to miss. Our partners over at Kel-Tec. I seriously need a range day. I need to go blow some holes through paper. Very much so. I need to go blow some stuff up. No, our friends over at Kel-Tec, I'm just going to tell you, if you don't have this gun in your EDC rotation, then there's something wrong with you. I'm not going to be friendly about it today. I heartily believe that you are your own first responder, and Kel-Tec has ingenious stuff that they come up with, and they just make it so much easier to do that. So the P15 is awesome because this is the literal lightest, slimmest, double-stack concealed carry 9mm on the market. I will tell you now that I have literally almost every dang 9mm that's ever been made, and this one, 14 ounces unloaded, 15 plus one round, standard capacity, Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic rear. And it comes in two versions. You have the polymer version and the metal version. Polymer's awesome, gator grip texture, really easy, accurate handling. The metal version is just sweet looking. This is like a 60s era, Sean Connery era James Bond gun. I mean, it has these beautiful classic wood grips, got a nice comfortable feel, really looks vintage, great trigger, same excellent capacity, you know, same thing. And so this should be definitely in your EDC rotation. For public safety and self-defense, make the P15 your concealed carry go-to. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A Pueblo security guard was arrested with a severed hand in pocket. Isn't there a song about hand in pocket? Something like that? Oh, golly. The lady who can't play harmonica? Okay. He got charged with murder. It also looked like he drew his eyebrows and his mustache on with a Sharpie. Pueblo, Colorado. The Pueblo Police Department arrested a security guard working at the Sangre de Cristo Arts Center. First degree murder. Solomon Martinez was arrested, and he had no criminal history. He passed his background checks. But when they arrested him, he legit straight up had a human hand in a little plastic bag in his pocket. This is, no, what anime is that? Kane and I are dying right now. It's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, but it's not Jujutsu Kaisen. No, it's not. With the hand in the pocket? But one of JoJo's episodes, the one before Stone Ocean, that was the one where the dude also had a hand in his pocket, right? The serial killer? Right. Oh, nerd out over. Anyway, they responded, the police, story gets crazier. The police responded to a call at the Loaf and Jug. I am jealous and amused. Loaf in Jug. Right. So you get your loaves and your jugs. Loaves and jugs. It should be loaves and jugs. Anyway, long story short, they then found a decapitated body. So, and it was a lady's body. So that was a lady hand that he had in his pocket. Yeah. And so they're investigating it. And then they found some evidence in his car. And then it turns out, I think that lady was a prostitute. And at some point, yeah, but he kept her hand. Oh my gosh. You never know. You never know. People, a faceless sea beast washes up on a beach and no one knows what it is. It looks like a dead rotted whale. I don't know. They say it's 16 feet long. They say that there was a severe storm, a lot of foam, the tide receded, and then there's a faceless sea beast. It just literally looks it's probably like a part of a whale carcass or something. It doesn't, I love it. It's like Monty Python. Oh my gosh, there's a piece of an animal. It's a brand new animal. Oh, it's a sea beast. It's not, it's like, it looks like whale blubber. An Oklahoma lawmaker targets furries in school with a bill to involve animal control. What? So they're filing a bunch of bills before the filing deadline. And they say that they're passing a law that prohibits students to be purported any imaginary animal or species. You can't participate in school activities, and it would prohibit students who engage in furry behavior from class. And that's really, do you need that though? Isn't that like what the teachers and all that are supposed to be doing, enforcing, and the parents? Maybe stick with us, we got more in store. Our partners for this portion of our program, help bringing you free radio, it's our friends over at Hillsdale College. So Hillsdale is a great academic institution, and they're all about the pursuit of education and liberty. And the cool thing with Hillsdale is that you don't have to go to Hillsdale College to take advantage of what they have to offer. They've been producing 60-second radio spots called Constitution Minutes. These are short, clear lessons on the principles of liberty. And you can also reserve a free pocket constitution at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. Now, Hillsdale is a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. They were founded in 1844, and they're about merit and character, not anything else. So to hear a Constitution Minute yourself and reserve a copy of your pocket constitution for free, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here, bottom of this third hour. And breaking news, Alec Baldwin was just charged with involuntary manslaughter in a new indictment over the fatal shooting on the Rust set. This is now just coming in. A grand jury has indicted him today. Just now it's coming in. Associated Press reports that this is to do with the 2021 fatal shooting during that rehearsal on the set of the movie Rust in New Mexico. And this was what many were saying was kind of like a dormant case against the actor. He was the lead actor and co-producer on the film, and he was pointing the gun at cinematographer Hala Hutchins during a rehearsal. It was outside of Santa Fe, October 2021, and he squeezed the trigger and the gun went off. And he said he pulled back the hammer, but not the trigger, and the gun fired. But forensic experts and firearms experts have said that that's not at all how that works. So there were several civil suits that were put on hold. They were seeking compensation from Baldwin, and they said they wanted to present charges to a grand jury. And so the plaintiffs in those suits include members of the film crew. Hutchins' husband also had filed suit against Baldwin, as well as I think it was one of the scriptwriters. We'd interviewed Gloria Allred about that a couple of years ago when this happened, because she was represented by Allred, and she said she was traumatized. And she also had said through Allred that they didn't at all include for him to like be drawing the gun and pulling the trigger or anything like that day. And that was she was a part of dealing with the script, so she said that wasn't even on the agenda for the day. So they also had charged the armorer in this situation, which, you know, the armorer probably there's some at least negligence or something with that. But she was, I think, also charged with Hannah Gutierrez with involuntary manslaughter, I think. But it was weird because their special prosecutors dismissed this involuntary manslaughter charge against him back in April. And then they changed their minds and they began weighing whether or not to refile the charge after they got new analysis of the gun. And they said that there's, you know, the markings on the cartridge without beyond any shadow of doubt prove, and this is, it's like, guys, this is not easy, or it's not difficult to, you know, come to the conclusion on this, but they said the markings on the cartridge prove irrevocably that the trigger had to have been pulled. End of. You can't just, you know, cock it and then that's, you know, that's not how that works. And he kept denying that he did it, but yeah. Now, one of the things with this, and I've written quite a lot about this, and like I said, a couple of years ago, we interviewed Gloria Allred, who represented one of the crew members who had filed suit against Baldwin as well. And there were a lot of complaints on this set. So not only was Baldwin starring in it, but he was also the executive producer of the set. And part of the responsibility of an executive producer is you run a sound set. You're involved in hiring. You are involved in laying the rule for set safety, making sure that requirements are met, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's your job as an executive producer. You hire the armorer, meaning the person who supplies and prepares any of the prop weapons, and also to make sure that they are cleared. You do all of that. And that's, you know, that's your responsibility as the executive producer. So at some point he's going to have, you know, some kind of culpability there. No matter which way you look at it. And it can't just be the armorer. But he was the one who pulled the trigger. But he had denied it, you know, the whole time. And I mean, the forensic reports say what they say. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's beyond any question at all whatsoever. So it was weird because they had said they were going back and forth. And I'm looking at like some notes of this. They were going back and forth as to, you know, how, because like I said, they had dismissed these charges back in April. And then they said, you know, with the release of this new information about the cartridge marks on the gun, which it shouldn't take you that long to look at it, but they decided to refile these. So he's been charged with involuntary manslaughter. And I knew it was going to be some kind of manslaughter charge. It's not murder because there's no premeditation. Even if it's an involuntary manslaughter, you know, it's an accidental murder. I don't believe that he intended to kill her, but his negligence did contribute to that. And one of the things, too, that I have talked to a lot of people who work in the film industry, and they even asked Nick Cage about this. He was on the red carpet a couple of years ago, and they had asked him about it. And he's like, I always clear my own weapon. He's like, you always, everybody, every actor who's been asked this is like, yeah, even if the armorer gets it, the armorer stands there and I will look and I will check and I make sure it's clear. Usually they're dummy guns and they, you know, they'll have what they call squibs. It's not like gunpowder. It's just like enough to give the appearance of like some smoke and like a blank, but there's nothing in there. It's not like an actual round. The other complaint that came up with this, and this came out and was sort of buried by all of the developments with this story, is that the weapons that they were using as they weren't really prop weapons. They were real weapons. They were just supposed to be unloaded. But the weapons that they were using to film were also the weapons, the same exact ones that they were using to shoot with. The cast, and these were other cast members that came out and said this, they would go away from the set, but they would take these guns. And I understand they wanted the actors to experience what the recoil actually was like. So when they're acting, you know, you can always tell if someone's firing a gun in a movie and they've never fired a gun before, number one. And number two, they have no idea what recoil is because it looks fake. And they wanted the actors to be able to understand what it felt like so that could be incorporated as part of their characters. And I think that's a fine thing to do. I mean, it brings realism to the story. I get it. I mean, for crying out loud, John Wick, and we're going to talk to Taron Butler, who trained John Wick, who trained Keanu Reeves for John Wick and Halle Berry and a ton of other people. We're going to talk to him next week when we're at SHOT Show. I get that because you want it to be realistic. But here was the problem. On this set, they would bring the firearms back and the cast members had filed complaints previously saying that there was not any attention to safety and that the arms weren't properly, the weapons weren't properly cleaned and they weren't being properly serviced. And if you're doing that, the armorer, and this is where I think Gutierrez bears culpability, the armorer is supposed to be in charge of them the entire time. They're the people who are supposed to bring them back, make sure they're clear, make sure they're unloaded, do everything absolutely possible. And there were cast members who were not feeling comfortable on set. They actually had filed complaints within their union, and they were going to walk off the set. So there were problems predating his shooting of Helena Hutchins already. And I've written about these. I have a ton of stuff up at Substack about this, but there were a lot of problems about this that predated him, this tragedy. But he's been charged with involuntary manslaughter. And I think that's, you also have to realize too, and involuntary manslaughter and manslaughter, he didn't mean, there was no premeditation. There was no, I don't think he intended to kill her at all. So that's, you know, with the charge, but you have voluntary manslaughter and you have involuntary manslaughter. And, I don't think that there was any kind of like intentional, like I said, it was just recklessness. Like voluntary manslaughter is like, if you're mad and you like, crimes of passion are voluntary manslaughter. It's involuntary is unintentional. It's like accidental. It's negligence. So this is the correct charge for this. And I don't think that the prosecutors would bring any kind of charge. You never want to go over what you can do. If anything, you want to kind of go under what you know that you can prove in court so that you can secure a conviction. So I don't see how he gets out of this. I mean, there are the forensic reports, the history that I just gave you with the cast and crew. Aside from the fact that he's the guy who pulled the trigger, he's also the executive producer. I don't see how he is acquitted. I really don't. I really don't at all. And they started filming. They returned to filming this movie in Montana late last year. So they started refilming it again. And then the part of the deal was that Helena Hutchins' widow is executive producer, is serving as an executive producer, which means that I'm sure he's probably going to be paying attention to the safety and all that stuff as well. So it's not just the armorer. That's part of his responsibility in this. Because remember, when you're executive producer, you also are dealing with the assumption of liability, insurance, and everything else for this. This is why, like, remember back, there were stories before Robert Downey Jr., who's an amazing actor, and he was very transparent about all of this. When he had his drug and alcohol problems, he could not get insured on a film. And Mel Gibson stepped in to help him. He could not, he couldn't get work because you have to get insured for these films. And some films, their insurance costs are going to be a heck of a lot higher than others, depending on stuff, these kind of variables. And executive producers are responsible for dealing with all of that. What was it called? It was a phenomenal series that talked about the making of The Godfather. Al Ruddy, who was just, I mean, an icon in filmmaking. But it got into, he served as a producer on this film, and it got into everything that he had to do to make sure the film ran smoothly. And you assume all of this stuff. I mean, you are the be all end all. You're the guy who basically runs the stuff on the set. So that was a phenomenal. Was that on Netflix? No. It was on, was it on Paramount? I think if you haven't seen it, it's phenomenal, but it's the making of The Godfather, true story, the making of The Godfather. But, that's where his culpability, in addition to being the guy who pulled the trigger, comes in. So there's a lot of stuff here. But we'll see how this goes, because honestly, I'm getting tired of seeing these people, these two tiers of justice, whether it's for people like Hunter Biden or Alec Baldwin. And Alec Baldwin, I mean, he blocked me on social media. He called me a murderer and all this other stuff after Parkland. Now, to my credit, and I'm going to say that because it was to my credit, I'm totally going to pat myself on the back. You know, I never got nasty with him over this, but, you know, maybe you should preach a little bit less to people about things you don't know, and practice. Maybe if he put as much effort into safety on his sets as he does at railing people over the Second Amendment, maybe there would have been a different outcome. We got a lot more to get into. We still got Today in Stupidity on the way that you don't want to miss. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the PMR-30. The PMR-30, this is such a great gun, and Kel-Tec is a great company, Florida-based. The PMR-30, I have several that I really, really like, but the PMR-30 is like one of my favorites. It's great for personal home defense, but I mean, I really like it recreationally. It's lightweight, accurate, 30 rounds, standard capacity, 22 Magnum. It's perfect for hiking, backpacking, really all day range plinking. I mean, I think it's really good for that. And standard capacity, again, 30 rounds, high vis fiber optic front and rear sights. You got really great target acquisition. I like to use this to get people comfortable with shooting handguns. Integrated accessory, rail, you can mount a light. I mean, it's just awesome. And if you want the carbine, the CMR-30 is the carbine version. That's the big brother of the PMR-30, except the same mag, had that ballistic advantage. Learn more about the PMR-30. This is one of my favorites. I mean, there's literally no recoil with it. I think I have, you know, more resistance when I cut into cold butter. Learn more about it at PMR-30 at KeltecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media as well. That's KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our children deserve better than to grow up in a country where an 18-year-old has easy access to a weapon that belongs on the battlefield, not in a classroom.
Well, first off, this is Garland, DOJ, who's talking about the Uvalde report that came out this week. Actually, it came out yesterday, and it said everything that we already knew. And I was trying to remember, there was a state report commission, too, that already said all of this stuff that we knew about like a year ago. But it gets into, he was saying, you know, the response was a failure. Welcome back to the program. But to this, to Merrick Garland's specific statement here, and I've written about this extensively, let me just recap what we all knew about this. The Uvalde murderer was had serious issues. He would walk around with dead cats. He would do, he was like apparently driving by, he would drive by parks and stuff, and he would shoot at people with a BB gun. I mean, I guess it's weird how Merrick Garland doesn't mention this, or how that how he used to send threats to tons of women online. There was a lot of very bad behavior. He once live streamed himself having a knockdown drag out argument with his mom. His family was like in disarray. He had serious, very clear issues. I mean, when you're walking around swinging around a dead cat in a bag and you're shooting at people out with your BB gun out of a car like randos. There's and the police were called to deal with it. There are serious issues here. Now, it is not the fault of law-abiding gun owners that his family or people in his immediate circle did not intervene, because everything that I'm hearing, I don't see how there would have been a problem to adjudicate him as a prohibited possessor at all, or at the very least have him committed, which would have immediately rendered him a prohibited possessor until at which time he was cleared and his record expunged. So that not following up on that does not mean we have bad laws or no laws. He would not have been able to legally buy his gun 2 days after he turned 18 as he did. But I get really tired of hearing that law-abiding people are responsible for picking up the slack they didn't even know existed, when other people, if this is their family member or someone in their immediate circle, when they don't even apparently care enough to do so. And that's exactly what it is. You don't care enough to do so, either about your family member or about other innocent people. Apparently, his uncle drove him to buy this. This is after police had already been called because he was shooting at randos with his BB gun. After it was known that he was sending threats online. After it was known that he was carrying around dead animals and swinging them around at people. After all of this, what kind of reckless and negligent family member then drives that person to go and purchase a firearm? How in the hell is that my fault or your fault? It's not. And there are no AR-15s on the battlefield. Holy hell, can we stop this? Can we have these remedial people not make laws on this stuff? There are no AR-15s in the battlefield. They are not using AR-15s to go hunt ISIS. They are not using AR-15s in Afghanistan. Hell, you can't even use an AR-15 to hunt deer in most states. Stop. So asinine. And it's this ignorance that keeps fueling this. Acting like it's everybody else's responsibility except for the criminal and the people who knew of the criminality. Speaking of which, is Garland going to act on Hunter Biden? All right, Kane, today in stupidity, sir.
Ooh, it's KJP. She also is talking about need for red flag laws and more common sense, quote unquote, gun laws. But anyway, she's also said other stupid things, like what we're about to hear. Go ahead, Juan. This is Karine Jean-Pierre.
It's clear Americans are starting to feel President Biden's strong economy. Yeah, wages have risen faster than inflation for 10 months in a row.
Okay, no, that's
the unemployment rate has remained below 4% for the longest stretch in 50 years. Inflation has fallen by about 2/3.
No, sorry. It's the rate of inflation that's fallen. Inflation is still increasing, by the way. So I guess gaslighting, is it just being intentionally stupid, maybe?
Yeah, it's a great question. Who knows? But folks, that does it for this week. Now, Monday, we'll be in studio as normal. Tuesday through Friday, we're going to be at SHOT Show. Have a great weekend. I'll be back with you Monday.